Praise the Lord, church. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful day it is today. We are excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about our service this morning. We've got our missionary brother and sister Dibbles here with us and excited about that. So we're going to get started here this morning. Just want to welcome all of you to Calvary Gospel Church. God bless you all, and just enjoy yourself today in the house of the Lord. God bless. Did I goof up again? I'm just going by. It says video service opener. I think that already happened. We've rechanged our format here. We have some announcements this morning, so we'll just get going here. Next week, we have August 30th, we have our annual youth back-to-school bash, so we're excited about that. We have new youth team leadership, so God is doing some awesome things in our youth ministry. And also, if you're here and you'd like to take and give, as many of you know, our giving, we've done a lot more giving online, and I appreciate all of that. All of you are working real good and hard in that area. So you can give. There's three different ways to give. You can go cgcmadison.org, or you can mail it right here if you'd like to mail it directly to the church, or you can go online and you can type in keyword tithes, offering, or missions. So today we have a missionary, so if you'd like to take and give to our missionary today, then you'll just be able to take and type in missionary. And we'll make sure that gets to where it needs to go. Yesterday, we had our back-to-school bash, and we give out school supplies. And this kind of took the place of what we used to have, what we called our Touch Twice Clinic. We had one in the spring, one in the fall. And Sister Stephanie Thompson is over that. And I just wanted her to give a short little report because things went just awesome yesterday. Thank you so much, all of you that came and helped out. But God bless you, Sister Stephanie.
Praise the Lord, church. I was so overwhelmed at our back-to-school event yesterday. It literally brought tears to my eyes. You always wonder on a year like this with COVID and schools not going back in session and then add some road construction, and you just wonder what it's going to be like. But we got here at 8:30, and there were already cars in the parking lot. And by the time we got started at 9 o'clock, there were 25 cars lined up to receive school supplies. So I have a picture here. If you look in the back, you can see the cars winding around, and they went all the way around the whole parking lot. And that 25 turned into over 75. We kind of forgot to count, so we're doing a little bit of estimating. If you go to the next slide, you can see we had four cars at a time, and different people handed out different supplies, and so we were able to meet the needs. If you were high school, you got certain supplies. If you were elementary school, and we just had lots of contact with people. It was wonderful. Four cars at a time for an hour and a half. Hour and a half. People were so appreciative and just so blessed, and it was such a blessing to meet real needs in our community, and just overwhelming. Anybody who waited in line got school supplies. The line kind of came to an end, and then here's our group that was handing out supplies. The line kind of came to an end, and the people who came a little later weren't able to get everything that they needed, but we do have a limit. But everybody who waited in line got the supplies that they needed. It was such a blessing. If you were here either Friday night for setup or here on Saturday, if you wouldn't mind standing up. And these people worked so hard just meeting the needs of our community. And it was, I appreciate each one of them. And I also appreciate all of you who gave to this cause. I know some of you gave to it, and others of you gave to the church. And because of your giving, we were able to meet this very, very important need in our community. And it was just such a blessing to represent this church and to meet this need. So thank you so much.
Praise the Lord, church. Could we all stand? Before we go into a time of worship this morning, when we get together to practice, we kind of always talk about the songs, what we're planning on singing, what the songs mean to us, what God has been speaking to us. And we were all of the same mindset that God is a way maker. And we were talking about how he made a way in the wilderness when there was no water. God brought water from a rock. Amen. We were talking about the scripture that talks about that he, in the wilderness, he'll make a way out of no way. And as we were preparing, we wanted to, and we pray that this service today, that you feel something in your heart, that you feel an encouragement in your heart, that God is going to make a way out of no way, that even when we don't see it, that he is working, that he is doing something, and that we're going to see victories and miracles in our lives like never before. Amen. I wonder if before we start worship, if we could just lift our hands and lift up our voices to the Lord and just call on his name. Thank you, Jesus. God, we are so blessed, God, to have this opportunity, God, to come into your presence, God, to seek your face, God, to lift up our hands, to lift up our voices, God, to worship you, God, in spirit and in truth, God. And I pray, Lord God, that there would be a spirit of faith, God, that would rise up in this place this morning, God, that there would be a spirit of encouragement, God, that there would be a spirit of victory, Lord God, in the house this morning, Lord Jesus, and that you begin to move in a mighty way, Lord God, in your people this morning, Lord Jesus. That's right. Why don't you clap your hands to him? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship.
Miracle worker, promise keeper. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Make a miracle work, promise.
proclaim that right now.
Said, I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory.
Proclaim that.
For the battle.
Over your life, over your situation.
I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
Can we sing that out together? Go ahead.
Even when I don't see it, don't work. Even when I don't feel it, don't work.
You never stop.
I'm gonna see a victory. See a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Sing that out.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Why don't you lift up your voice to Him? Hallelujah, Jesus.
Such a very powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. Thank you so very much for worshiping. We are so very, very excited. We had our district conference yesterday, and we've had some changes. We have a new North American Missions Director, Brother Joe Hanthorn from Mequon. Is our new NAM director, so we're excited about that. And then also Brother Fabian Martinez, which is our own Voces Unidas pastor, is the new Spanish coordinator for the state of Wisconsin. So we're excited for Brother Fabian and Sister Gina and their new role. But we also had just a great time in the Holy Ghost. God is just doing some awesome things, and it is such an honor. Brother and Sister Dibble were there over the past few days, and it's just been such an honor to have these people with us here in church this morning here at Calvary Gospel Church. They are the outgoing missionaries to Micronesia. That's kind of the northern Pacific, and it covers an area of over 1 million square miles. And they're going to come. Brother Dibble is going to come. It's so great to have Sister Dibble down here in the front. But Brother Dibble is going to come share their burden with us. And then they have a project that they need some assistance on. And I would like to see us raise some funds for them here this morning. And but it's just an honor to have you here, brother. I want you to come share with us your burden. God bless you, Brother Dibble.
Thank you, Pastor, and praise the Lord, everybody. How many are excited to be in church on Sunday morning? Would you clap your hands and give the Lord praise today? Thank the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to do this very quickly today because of our time constraints here. So we're gonna do this quick. When I was just beginning preaching, a couple of years ago, all the kids used to like it when they when they knew Brother Dibble was preaching, because they knew we would get out quick and they'd get to Burger King really quick. So I'm going to try to go back to my roots and be very quick here today. We are missionaries to Micronesia. How many have ever heard of Micronesia? I see several hands. Wow, that's more than what normally we see. Amen. For those of you that have not heard of Micronesia, it is not a disease. It really is a place. Amen. We base on the island of Guam. How many have heard of Guam? Most of us have heard of Guam, and we base there and then travel out from there. Actually, Pastor, our field covers almost 3 million square miles. It's bigger in size than the entire United States, spread across the Pacific Ocean, thousands of little islands. As a matter of fact, Micronesia actually means small island. And so we serve many, many, many small islands. We actually serve 5 different nations. We serve the island of Guam, which is a separate entity to itself. We serve the Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands, which is north of Guam. We serve the Federated States of Micronesia. We serve the country of Palau, and we serve the Marshall Islands. And that's a big, big chunk of the Pacific Ocean. The good news about all of that is the Holy Ghost is being poured out in the Pacific Ocean, on the islands in the Pacific. Yeah. And we're excited about that. Amen. Amen. It's interesting because even with different cultures and different customs and different climates and everything that's different about being on the other side of the world, when folks get the Holy Ghost, they do it the same way we do it right here in America. Amen. When people receive the Holy Ghost, they speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. Thank the Lord. And so we're very excited about what the Lord is doing in Micronesia, or what we call Micronesia. And we're thankful for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We do need your help today. There are a couple of different ways that you could help us. First of all, we need partners. Our Global Missions Division, for all the years we've been missionaries, they've never come up with a better color for our partner and missions forms than these bright yellow things. Amen. You'd think they'd come up with some unique design, but we need folks that will partner with us on a monthly basis. If you're interested in doing that, we'd love to talk to you after church. We'll connect with Pastor, make sure we do everything the right way. I know the Lord will bless you for that. Amen. Outside of our monthly partners, we need to raise an additional amount simply because of the cost involved in traveling to all of these little islands. Unfortunately, the distances between islands are too great to have boat service, and so we have to do everything by air. If United Airlines ever goes out of business, I'm in big trouble, because they're the only airline that services the area that we work in, and we are frequent flyers, unfortunately, with United Airlines. Amen. But we've got to raise about $100,000 to help us cover the cost of our airfare travel over the period of 4 years. And we have only been, because of all the COVID stuff, we've only been traveling. I think this is our 9th service since March. And typically we do like 4, 5, 6 services a week. And because of all the COVID nonsense, we've been shut down. In spite of all of that, the Lord is helping us. Amen. We have already raised almost $50,000 in just about 9 services. Amen. How many know the Lord provides for us? Amen. Oh, yes. Thank the Lord. And so we still have about half of our budget to go as far as raising our travel funds. So if any of you have $50,000 laying around and you'd like to help us with that, we'd love to talk to you. I'm guessing, and I can't see all of the faces, but I'm guessing behind the mask there's recognition there, and probably 2 or 3 of you have $50,000 sitting out in the barn or under the mattress or, you know, in the trunk of the car, whatever. And if you'd like to help us with that, we would love to talk to you after service. Probably Pastor would like to talk to you about that as well. Amen. But seriously, the way we do this, we kind of do it in little bitty chunks, and we just do it simply $100 at a time. And if you'd like to help us with $100, you could do more than that, of course. But if you'll give us $100, we'll swap you $100 for one of these nice little cards right here. I know you probably can't see it from where you are, but it just says, I gave, they'll go. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. So you help us with $100, we'll give you one of these little cards, and I know the Lord will bless you for that. Now, very, very quickly, and I'm looking at the clock here and racing the time, but is there anybody else beside myself that during this COVID craziness, you have acquired a couple of more pounds than you normally would have? Is there anybody here that... I've got a good pastor friend in California. He contacted me the other day, and he said, "Bro, he said I'm getting a sunburn from the light in the refrigerator. It's getting really bad." Amen. But if you need to lose a couple of pounds, this right here is an absolute surefire, 100% guaranteed way to help you lose weight. Amen. Here's how it works. If you'll help us with $100, my wife will give you one of these cards, and she'll put a magnet on the back of it. Okay, so you give us $100, we give you the card. It's got a magnet on the back. You take the card home and put it on the front of your refrigerator. All right, now you probably can't tell, but down here in the corner, there's a little picture there of my wife and I. All right, so you help us with $100, we give you the card, you put it on the front of your refrigerator. That way, every time you head to the fridge, you will see my face looking at you. It will cause you to turn and run from the refrigerator, thereby getting a little bit of exercise and losing a couple of pounds. I promise it works. Amen. Amen. Seriously, if you'd like to help us with that, just see us after the service. My wife will help you and get you one of these cards. You can also give online if you're interested in doing that. You simply text our name, Dibble, D-I-B-B-L-E, to 71777. Did y'all see that? I did that better than Joe Biden. Did I just say that? That was awful. Goodness gracious. Text our name, Dibble, D-I-B-B-L-E, to 71777. Again, we'll give you details in the back if you're interested in that. Thank you for allowing us to be here. I think Pastor's coming. And thank you so much for your faithfulness. Amen.
Praise the Lord, church. As Brother Dibble mentioned, there are various ways that we can give here this morning. I feel that God wants us to help get them their travel budget. Now, this year has been very, very difficult for a lot of our missionaries that are in deputation. As many of you know, our general conference has been canceled. In September, the third week of September, a lot of our missionaries go to conference, and conference is kind of like the end of their deputation travels. And then from there, they're commissioned to head out to their various fields of labor. We do not have a conference this year due to the COVID virus. So this is going to even take and further hinder our missionaries and their endeavors to try to take and raise funds. Now, I believe that God has blessed Calvary Gospel Church. And I believe that God is asking us to bless Brother and Sister Dibble this morning. So I would like to commit, Calvary Gospel Church, I would like to commit to $10,000 for their travel expenses. Do you think we can do that, church? So if you would like to take and get your refrigerator card, your surefire way to lose weight, you go ahead, get your card. But we're going to ask them to leave enough cards that we'll all have our own refrigerator card. And we want to be able to see them get back to their field of labor and do what God has called them to do. And this is when the body of Christ steps up. God has never, ever left us hanging, church. He's never left us short. He's never not come through. And I just believe God wants us to bless them as well this morning. So thank you so very much, Brother and Sister Dibble. It's an honor to have you here. We want you to come back. We just want you to don't worry about that clock up there, okay? Because if it gets too far, we just move the time back. So we'll just keep moving it We're not worried about it. God bless you, brother. Just preach to us.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord, everybody, again. Amen. Clap your hands and give the Lord praise today. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Worship the Lord with us while we sing today.
As we walk along life's highway, there are signs along the way. Some signs are there to guide us, others cause us to stray. But the sign we've all been looking for will melt all our fears away. For when we read that sign, this is what that sign will say. Heaven, city limits, we're almost home now. Oh, the work you've done for Jesus, it's worth your time. No tears, no sorrow, no more trouble on your mind. Soon as we cross that city limit line. My friend, if you're not happy walking down the road you're on, come walk with me a while. My road leads to home. It could be around the corner or around the next bend. Traveling days are over. We have reached the end. And Simon Reed, heaven, city limits, we're almost home now.
How many know we're getting close to heaven today?
Work you've done for Jesus, it's worth your time. No tears, no sorrow, no more trouble on your mind. Soon as we cross that city limit line.
Would you stand with us today?
Trouble on your mind. As soon as we cross that city limit, soon as we cross that line,
well, as soon as we cross that city limit line. Come on, would you clap your hands and give the Lord praise today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm looking forward for the trumpet sounding. I'm looking forward for Jesus splitting the skies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse number 13. Thank you, Pastor, for helping us. I am overwhelmed. I am almost speechless. That's pretty good for me, being almost speechless. Amen. Thank you so much, church, for your kindness. Amen. You have blessed us tremendously. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 13. If you have it in your Bible, say praise the Lord. If you're still looking, say, wait a minute. I don't hear any wait a minutes. And for those that don't have your Bible, thank the Lord for technology. We've got it on the screen here. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, beginning at verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I need you to pay special attention today to verse number 14 and verse 17. Verse number 14 says, "For if we believe," amen. Everybody say, "If." If we believe. Verse number 17, "Then," everybody say, "Then." "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." For just a few minutes today, and I'm going to do my best to get done very quickly, but I feel like the Holy Ghost wants to touch someone here today. Amen. So for just a few minutes, I want to preach on this subject. When there's an if, there's always a then. When there's an if, there's always a then. Would you please put your Bibles down, take everything out of your hands, and would you clap your hands to the Lord today and give the Lord praise? I love you, Jesus. Come on, somebody raise a shout of praise in the house today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. 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 Just before you're seated, turn to your neighbor, look him in the face, tell him you look good. And you may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Prophets of old spoke with certainty. They spoke with a calm assurance. They spoke with knowledge beyond their years and with wisdom beyond their mental capabilities. As far back as the book of beginnings, references are made to indicate that one day a Savior, one day a Messiah would come. In fact, every prophet ever named or identified in the pages of Holy Writ were given a witness and an assurance that a Messiah would come. Luke the historian records the words of Peter while he's preaching to the household of Cornelius. Peter tells them emphatically that Christ gave witness to every prophet, witness that was beyond their years, a witness that was beyond their finite minds regarding the coming Messiah. Herbert Lockyer makes the statement in his writing, "The prophecy of these heralds, who were not simply preachers of repentance, clearly proved that they regarded Jehovah not only as the God of history, but also as the God of destiny." Amen. To a man, every one of the prophets were fallible. They were finite and prone to human error. They had their own idiosyncrasies and their own unique character and their own character flaws. Amen. But they all collectively spoke in unison about the Savior that would come. They joined their voices in harmony, stating that Christ would come. And although they were many and their voices were many, he, the Christ, the one that would come, he would stand alone. Amen. They were limited in their scope of power, yet Christ would come having all power in heaven and in earth. They were sinful, had an inherent sin nature from birth, yet Christ would come who was perfect and without sin. They had foreknowledge only as they were inspired, yet Christ would come who was the framer and controller of the ages. They gave witness while still
still in darkness of a light that would come. Christ came and proclaimed, I am the light of the world. Amen. They saw through a glass darkly, having only glimpses of truth. Yet Christ came with authority and proclamation stating, I am the way, the truth, and the light. They gave way one by one in succession according to the seasons of life. Yet Christ came and declared, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. There's none before me. There's none after me. There's no God beside me. There's nobody like me. I am God alone. The old timers in Pentecost, and I grew up in this truth, the old timers in Pentecost used to say it this way, he's God all by himself and he don't need nobody else. I know the English isn't so good, but the theology is right on point. Amen. Scholars, both biblical and secular, all agree that there was indeed a child born, and his name was Jesus. Scholars debate the year of the child's birth, but they all agree that there was, in fact, a child born. Scholars, both biblical and secular, agree that this child was unique. He was special. Some scholars believe that he was simply a gifted child. Others believe that he was in fact some sort of a prophet, as the prophets of old. Still others believe that he was nothing more than just a man. C.S. Lewis, in his writing, Mere Christianity, writes the following. He said, I'm trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make the choice. I believe that according to the prophetic word of Isaiah, that a virgin did conceive. I believe, according to the words of Matthew and Luke, that the child that was born was conceived by the Holy Ghost. I believe, according to the prophetic word of Isaiah, that the government is on his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I believe, just like Luke recorded it in his gospel, and just like the heavenly host declared it, that there was indeed a Savior that was born, and it was Christ the Lord. Amen. I believe that the words of Isaiah are true. Emmanuel is come. Christ is with us. I believe Jesus came on purpose. I believe he came with purpose. Amen. I believe that Jesus came with focus and determination. I do not believe, as some would like to say, that he was only a good teacher or the proverbial good Samaritan, if you will. I believe Jesus came with one mission and one goal, and that mission and goal was to be the sacrifice for the sins of mankind. I believe, just like John the Revelator wrote, that he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I believe he came to be a sacrifice. He came to be the substitution. He came to pay a price that I could not pay. Amen. He came to carry my sin and your sin all the way to Calvary. Amen. I believe that one single drop of his blood would have been enough to cleanse the sins of mankind of all times. I believe just one drop would have been enough. Yet Christ came and willingly gave his all so that we could find salvation. I believe that his blood was not just blood of another spotless lamb. I believe his blood was precious blood, holy blood, sinless blood, and it washed the sins of man. I believe it just like the Apostle Paul wrote it. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I believe he had the right to be God because he was God. I believe he had the right to come to this world and to demand his right as regal royalty, but he chose to deny those rights and slip in through the back door of humanity and come as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Oh, how he loves you and me. Contrary to popular belief, I do not believe the story ends there. Some claim that he's still on the cross and worship his broken and bleeding body still hanging on the cross. Some places that you go in Micronesia and in the Philippines and other areas in the Pacific, you'll see statues of Jesus hanging on the cross. Statues of Jesus as the Santo Niño, the baby Jesus. Amen. You'll see him, or statues of the Virgin Mary, Mama Mary, they call him, her. Amen. They worship Christ as a crucified Christ. Some claim that Jesus is still in the grave and celebrate the foreboding nature of and the finality of the fact of his death and worship him still in the grave. Amen. I believe that Jesus did indeed go to the cross. I believe that Jesus did in fact die on that cross. I believe that the man, Christ Jesus, did spill his blood. I believe they took his broken and bleeding body and wrapped it in grave clothes and laid it in a borrowed tomb. Amen. I believe they did roll a great stone over the mouth of that tomb. I believe, just like Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, that he descended into the lower parts of hell. And he came out leading captivity captive. He descended into hell and conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I believe he is alive forevermore and holds the keys of death and of hell. I believe today he got up out of the grave. Death could not hold him. The grave with its icy fingers of finality could not keep him, because he's more than just a man. He is God Almighty. I believe that Jesus is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. I believe that Jesus is the great I am that I am. I believe that Jesus is El Shaddai, the almighty, all-sufficient God. I believe that he that had no beginning of days and had no ending of days put himself, he that was limited, put himself in a limited body so that he could proclaim to the world, death is swallowed up in victory, so that he could stand and say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" I believe today that Jesus came out of the grave and he is alive today. Robert Collier said, "Constant repetition carries conviction." So allow me to display my deep conviction today regarding Jesus Christ and repeat that I believe what Jesus said. I believe when he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death." I believe that today. Mary said she saw him. I believe that. Peter said he saw him. I believe that. Two men on the road to Emmaus said they saw him and walked with him and sat at table with him. I believe that today. Thomas doubted and said, "I'll not believe until I touch the nail prints in his hand." And then he declared, "My Lord and my God." I believe that today. I've got news for you. Elvis is dead. Buddha and Muhammad are dead. Mary, Peter, James, John, the disciples, the apostles, they're all dead. But I've got some good news today. Jesus is alive. He got up out of the grave, and he's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Newton's third law of motion states that to every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Scientists say that for every effect, there is a cause. It's called the philosophical concept of causality. Grammarians, those that study the English language, they say that when there is an if, there has to be a then. It's called a conditional clause or a conditional sentence. The if cannot stand on its own. There has to be a then. Amen. An if then or a conditional clause statement is just what the name says it is. It's a statement that proves if something happens, then something else will happen. Amen. Abram speaking to his nephew Lot used a conditional clause way back in the book of Genesis. He said, "If thou wilt go to the left hand, then I'll go to the right." Amen. God gave promise to Abram regarding his future and posterity of his name and family when he said, "If a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." God speaking to the people of Israel in a call to repentance told them in 2 Chronicles, he said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Grammarians also state that these conditional clauses are based on factual implications. Whether or not the if part of the clause is factual or hypothetical, the then part of the clause is based on factual consequence. Amen. Dottie Rambo wrote the song many years ago. She said, "He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. 'Twas the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no star in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this." If that isn't love, understanding that whenever there is an if, there has to be a then. And sometimes the then is implicated. It's understood. It may not be always written, but it's an understood concept. So understanding that when there's an if, there has to be a then. I've got to tell you today that if we believe in a prophetic Messiah, and if we believe in a crucified Christ, and if we believe in a risen Savior, and if we believe in a living God, then we must believe in a coming King. Amen. Jesus said it, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, yes, that where I am, there you may be also.
Praise God.
If we believe today that Jesus died and rose again, then we must believe, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Amen. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then we must believe that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Yes, amen.
Stand with me this morning, if you would. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then we've got to believe that he really is coming again. I've done all of that today just to get to that line right there. Jesus is coming. I wish I had about 5 people in the church that would believe that with me today. Jesus is coming. Amen. Pastor Grant, I've heard it since the time I was just a child. I can remember my grandfather, who was my pastor when I was just born. I can remember hearing him preaching and telling the church way back then, Jesus is coming. Amen. And I remember my dad, who became my pastor after that, and I'd hear him preach the word and tell everybody, Jesus is coming. Amen. I've heard others throughout the course of my life tell folks, Jesus is coming. But I need you to understand, if we were ever on the doorstep of the rapture of the church, I believe we are on the doorstep today. I need somebody to hear this preacher today. Jesus really is coming. The trumpet really is going to sound. The dead in Christ really are going to rise again. He is coming.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
And if Jesus is coming, and I believe he is, then I've got to tell you today, you need to be ready. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk. But I need you to understand, according to the word today, that the only ones that are going when Jesus comes,
all right,
are the ones that have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus inside of them. Amen. He said that if you have his Spirit inside of you, then he's going to quicken your mortal bodies. The only way you can be quickened is if he quickens that spirit that's inside of you. Amen. I'm here to tell you very simply today, it's such a simple message. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in the precious, powerful name of Jesus Christ, and be filled, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. Hey, church, I need you to hear this preacher today. Jesus really is coming, and we really do have to be ready to meet him when he comes. I know I'm a couple of minutes over time, but forgive me today. I can remember as a boy, hearing my mother. Back then, we didn't even have a piano. She had just an accordion. And I can remember in church, she'd start singing out. She had a strong voice. And she'd start singing out the old, old song, "He's coming soon. He's coming soon." And as a boy, it would make me so uncomfortable when I'd hear her sing that, because I knew I didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. And if I was going to make it when Jesus came, I had to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. But oh, I can remember her singing, playing that accordion, and just singing out as strong as she could, "He's coming soon. He's coming, coming soon. With joy we'll welcome His return. Today, and I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable today. So right where you're standing, if you just close your eyes for just a moment. Those watching online, just close your eyes in your living room, in your kitchen, wherever you are. Just close your eyes for just a moment. Nobody's looking. If you're in the house today and you're uncertain whether or not you're ready to go, if Jesus would come today, and you need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost on your life, or if you've never ever received the Holy Ghost, while nobody's looking, I wonder if you'd just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I need Jesus to touch me today. I need Him to help me today. I want to make sure that I'm ready to go when You come, Lord." I see several hands raised here, and I believe that even through the live stream that the Holy Ghost is reaching and touching people's hearts today. Amen. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable here, but if you'd like to slip out of your pew and you're comfortable with that, you want to slip out of your pew and come stand around the front today, I believe the Holy Ghost would meet you here at this altar and would touch your life today and would put an assurance down in your spirit that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if the trumpet sounds today, then I will go and meet the Lord today. Are there others that would come? Amen. If you're not comfortable coming up to the front, I want to ask you right where you are, would you just slip your hands in the air and begin to give Jesus praise today? Come on. The Holy Ghost is in the building today. He wants to help us. He wants to touch us. He wants to fill someone with His power today. He wants to give you an assurance today that you're ready to go when He comes again. Come on, would you come today? Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands, lift your voice.
For the judgment.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, I need You in my life today, God. I want to be ready when You come, Jesus. I need the Holy Ghost to touch me today, God. I need Your power. I need the Holy Ghost in my life today, Jesus. Come on, would you touch Him today? Would you touch Him? Would you touch Him today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I need Your touch on my life today, God. I need to repent of my sins today, Jesus. I need to make it right with You today, God. I want to be ready when You come, Jesus. I want to leave this world when the trumpet sounds, God.
It may be more.
Hallelujah. Oh, I feel Your glory in the house today. Come on, somebody, just give it up to Jesus today. He's here to help you. He's here to bless you. He's here to touch you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost is helping somebody here today. Church, would you help me praise Him for a while? Would you help me give Him glory today? The Holy Ghost is here and helping folks right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Are you ready for the judgment?
To touch Him today. Somebody needs to talk in tongues here today. Hallelujah. Somebody here may be struggling today. Whatever's going on in your life, if you just lift your hands, God will touch you right where you are today. He'll come where you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.